And so we're also, I mean, you guys will not be affected, so we're also doing something a little new and different today. And in the second and third service, so hello, second and third service, they're going to actually see me on video. And so it's going to be a little different, but you get live. But, you know, as I get older, we may be looking at the video a little more often, possibly. And so that's what we're going to do. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read 19 to 21 and then 24. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21 and 24. Here's the word of the Lord. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then skip down to verse 24. "And no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for this time, Lord. And we ask you that you would speak to us, Lord, and just do something supernatural in our lives, God, in our heart, in our mind, in the way we think, especially as it pertains to wealth, possessions, money, God, resources, security. And I pray that you would just allow, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to really enter into that space to bring confirmation, conviction, love, God, and maybe even a rebuke, Lord, as it seems necessary. And so we thank you for that, God. So right now, to this end, God, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to relay your heart, God, but to not just to be with my words, but, Lord, that I would relay your heart, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this place, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Just a little side note about the retreat. Thank you, everyone that's been praying. This is like the most momentum we've ever felt going into this retreat, and so it's going to be amazing. Saturday morning, a word of warning, you know there's a Formula E race that's going on in Hong Kong the next day. They're closing the roads down, and so we've moved the bus locations, but in that, make sure you have plenty of time to get to the venue, which is going to be for central people. That's really going to just affect central people at the general post office, which is behind Jardine House. And so make sure you have plenty of time to get there because there will be some road closures here and there, most on the harbor side, but just in case, because closing roads, other roads get filled and thus more traffic. And so please make sure you get there on time. So if you were planning to leave, however distance it takes you or how long it takes you to get to church, just double it. And so make sure you get there on time. And then if you get there on time or you get there early, praise God, right? You know, it's not a sin to get to places early. And I know that sometimes it feels like it here in Hong Kong. And then maybe you could pray or, you know, do something with your free time that you have. Okay. So building the house, we're going to run through this. Now, again, I'm going to be very straight with this topic of giving and of stewardship. And so we'll preface all this from the very beginning by saying that God does not need your money. We're not preaching this message because we're in a financial deficit at a church, that we're in lack. We're not. It's none of those things. It actually has nothing to do with that at all anyway. It's a simple fact that God does not need your money. Turn to your neighbor, and with as much conviction as you have, say, "Hey, good looking, God does not need your money." This is really important for us in this way to really understand this. The simple reality is if God needed my money, he is an impotent God. He's not the God that we should be serving. We should go follow some other God. But this is the God that we serve. He does not need our money. But yet, in the scriptures, God asks us to give. There's just something about that. There's something that we need to understand, that it's not for his benefit, but it's for our benefit. There's something so supernatural about giving that it breaks the spirit of control in our lives. It breaks our greed. It breaks the very self that is the enemy of God and that really is the God of this age. There's something so precious about giving. God, who does not need your money, he says to the church, he says, but give and give cheerfully. You know, one of the things that I think about, and I pray for my girls, obviously, and my son, too. And I pray that they would find good husbands and a good wife and all that good kind of stuff. And when I think about the qualities that I'd like to have in my future sons-in-laws, you know, one of the things that is top on the list, I mean, it's not the top. The most top is actually this person needs to love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. I think most of us as parents, we say the same thing. But there's a characteristic that's actually quite high on my list, which is generosity. There's just something so beautiful, something so special about generosity that really is a reflection or an overflow of so much else that's in the person's heart. And I've just been able to identify this particular character above a lot of other things in life. And so, and if you're a young person and still wanting to be getting married and things like that, man, you should look for someone who is generous. It speaks so much of the person's character in that way. But before we continue on, I just want to clarify terms for us a little bit, okay? And so I want to talk about stewardship, generosity, and giving. It's important that we understand these terms because sometimes we kind of mix them all together, but these are not synonyms of one another. And let me explain how this works here. Stewardship is a role. Giving is an act. Generosity is an attitude. So let's make very clear about these topics, because a lot of times we use them interchangeably, and we get very confused as a result. Stewardship is a role. Giving is an act, and generosity is an attitude. So let me just talk about each one a little bit. In biblical times, and this might be up on your screen, in biblical times, a steward was a respected person of high integrity who was entrusted with the master's possessions. The steward managed the possessions in accordance with the master's wishes. This is huge when we talk about stewardship. When we mostly talk about stewardship, we think that God gave us all this stuff and we're responsible for this stuff to use it for our ends. No, 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 no. That's not biblical stewardship. A steward was given the responsibility of the master's stuff. Actually, none of this actually belonged to the steward. Everything belonged to the master, but he was given the responsibility to steward, the shepherd, to be responsible over these possessions according to the master's wishes. Since God created and still owns all we have, stewardship, and when we talk about biblical stewardship, or probably I should have added this, good stewardship really is recognizing that God is the owner and that we are his managers responsible for using God's possessions to please him. So whenever in the church you hear that word steward or stewardship, that is a definition. In fact, that is the only definition. And we use these terms so loosely. We think, oh yeah, I'm a steward. Well, the reality is you can be a good steward or you can be a bad steward. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit later on. And so that's the reality. You can really understand God, this belongs to the Lord. I am responsible for this while I'm here on earth. But my responsibility on earth is still to do the wishes of the master. Being a good steward is not, okay, I give a little bit to the church, I give a little bit to my dad, and I keep the rest, and I do whatever I want with the rest that I have. That's called bad stewardship in that regard. Amen? You guys, everyone with me? I know you don't like this. I could tell by the reaction, the faces, the eyes that I'm getting at right now, okay? Generosity, that's stewardship. Generosity involves a willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of others. So this is an attitude. When we're talking about generosity, we're talking about heart in this way. And so a person that's generous is someone that looks out for others, not just for themselves. So stewardship's a role. Generosity is an attitude. It's heart. It's a characteristic that we have. Now, giving, when we talk about this, giving is merely the act of releasing those very things, something that is of somewhat value. So giving is merely the act of releasing those things, okay? So stewardship, being a steward is a role, and we're all meant to be stewards, meant to be good stewards. Generosity is the attitude of our hearts. That's how we do. That's why he says that he loves a cheerful giver. What's a cheerful giver? It's a generous person. That's a cheerful giver in this regard. And then giving is the act by which you do these things. So giving is the verb through this. It's the act of releasing something of value. Now, giving can be done without generosity. Case in point, the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave, but they were not generous. So we can see that happening. And probably what we just had offering, there are probably some of you guys that were here today that gave, but you were not generous. There wasn't generosity. There wasn't that attitude, that heart behind it. It was more just out of duty. It was more out of ritual. It was more out of this is what you always did. This is what you were taught. But that heart content is missing in some way. And so that's not being generous. That's not the attitude that God wants. And so, again, giving can be done without generosity, but you cannot be generous without giving. You cannot be generous without giving. In other words, generosity, even though it says an attitude, it doesn't mean that it just stays here. You know, like, oh, I just have a good attitude. I'm a generous person. But you actually don't give anything to anybody. That's not a generous person. You may say, oh, I have generosity in my heart. Actually, you don't, because you didn't do the act. Stewardship is a role. Generosity is an attitude. It's a heart. And giving is the act of releasing your possessions or your funds or, you know, and this also, I know we're talking about giving and talking about money and these things, but this also relates to our time and our talents. Remember the three T's that we're hitting here, right? Our time, our talents, and our treasure. We're talking about treasure for all intents and purposes in this message, but really being a good steward is not just about treasure, it's also about our time and our talents that we offer up to the Lord in that regard, okay? So, however, this idea of generosity is only one characteristic of a biblical steward, like I was saying. A steward's primary responsibility was to manage the resources that are not given away. That's how stewardship works, okay? Now, let me drop something on you. Tithing does not necessarily make you a good steward. You guys understand what I'm saying, okay? Tithing should be automatic. I'll talk about that in a moment. Tithing is you and God. It belongs to the Lord. The first, it belongs to Him. Stewardship entails what you do with the other 90% of how that works. It's what was already given over. And I know some of you already struggle with tithing. That's something you got to deal with God about. Okay, and so, I mean, you need to go into the Word and just take care of business because you're not face-to-face with God anymore. Very legitimately speaking, you are now in sin in this regard. And so you need to figure that out before the Lord and take care of business in that way. And so we need to understand this. The steward's primary responsibility is to manage the resources that are not given away. Maybe the other 90%, or maybe some of you guys are 30%, you know, or however else you do the math in terms of your finances and whatnot. And so resources that are not given away. The parable of the talents in the book of Matthew will give us, and we're not going to go through this, but if you want to look more, we'll give you a really good picture of good stewardship and bad stewardship. And you'll see how these things are laid out by those three that went out and were either bad stewards or good stewards through it, or positive stewardship and negative stewardship, okay? Now, I'm breaking up this message into three different parts. So four different parts. So that was part one. I'm going to move to part two. So this is meant to be a very practical message. Now, number two, how do I give? And then I'm going to talk about why do we give, and I'm going to talk about some extra points at the end here. So how to give. The primary issue that you want to deal with when we talk about giving, now we're talking about the actual act of releasing. The primary issue that we think about is actually the issue of control. It's control. The reality is we want control. And God wants control. But God's control is legitimate because it all belongs to Him. Now, if you struggle with that, then you're not going to get anything that I'm saying here today. And so you can kind of go on a mental vacation right now, you know, or you can ask Holy Spirit to help you to let this really grasp into you. So it's about control. And I have to make sure that even in giving, that I take control out of my hands. Because that's what self wants. Self wants to control everything around you. You know how annoying it is? Have you ever been around somebody who's a control freak? You know what I mean? I mean, it just kind of drives you nuts a little bit. And so, and I say that because at many times in my life, I'm also a control freak. And so I can very much relate to that in my own life. I drive people crazy around me in that regard. And so I got to make sure that this is not something that I control so much with in my hands. So here's a simple plan for us. This is what I want to offer to you. The tithe. The tithe. The tithe belongs to God. No ifs, ands, or buts. It belongs to Him. It's not 10%, it's the first 10%. In other words, it's dealing with primary, it's dealing with our heart more than anything else. It's the first 10%, and this goes to God's house. Now, as an individual, I don't decide anything about this tithe. It belongs to Him, and it belongs to His church. It has nothing to do with me. I give up all control over this very thing. Okay? And now... This gets me face to face with the Lord. Now I'm not sinning. It's a very simple thing. So the tithe belongs to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, the tithe belongs to God. The next part, because the Bible tells us there's tithes and offerings. And so the offering now is whatever you give above and beyond the tithe. Okay? So the tithe, you tithe, means that's an affirmation that God, all things came from you. Everything belongs to you. And the tithe belongs to Him. It doesn't even register in our minds that belongs to me at all. But God's now given us 90% to work with here. And out of that 90%, there's a thing that He calls offering. And this is what is above and beyond the tithe. If you actually begin to go study, and I just don't have the time to do that. We have messages from so many years before that I talk a little bit more about this. You know, when the Bible talks about overflow and blessing and receiving and that stuff, that's actually coming from this offering place. Because the 10 belongs to God. It's the overflow, the blessing, you know, that the Lord releases is actually from this idea of offering. This is above and beyond the tithe. This is where we step into our stewardship, into our generosity, our generous heart in that way. We have some discretion about how we use the offering, but it still belongs to the Lord. It goes to Him. And so offerings, typical offerings are, like at church we have missions offering. We have our vision fund that we're trying to continue to raise money that when we can eventually move into a bigger location and serve churches, not just this one, but other churches that we'll be planting all over the world. And so there's love offerings, there's Thanksgiving offerings, there's what we call just because offerings. You know, God just put something on your heart to release and give to somebody else. I know a couple at our church years ago established a blessing offering. And so they basically put aside money every month to bless people in the body of Christ. And it could be taking them out for a meal. Sometimes it could be, you know, to have a big barbecue. Sometimes it's just giving money to someone as the Lord would speak to them, above and beyond their tithe, obviously. And they just set aside money to be basically the blessing pot in that regard to do those different types of things. And so this is, you know, offering to specific missionaries or any of these things. And so again, you have some discretion. In other words, you can say, well, I want this to go here and I want this to go there. And the church will fulfill your will in that regard. I mean, as long as it aligns with the mission of the church, because we're not a bank, you know. We're not just funneling money to give to all these different charities and whatnot. And we do that besides. The last one in this idea of how to give is also charity. So we have tithe, we have offering, and we have charity. Charity, you decide where to give to. You decide whom to give it to. You decide how much to give to in that regard. And this is totally under your control. You can give to World Vision and sponsor children. You can give to Mother's Choice or Christian Action here in Hong Kong. And I hope this is a common practice that we also operate as a church. But the beauty of charity is you control this very thing. You get to decide who, what, when, where, why, all these different things, and that's totally up to you. But the tithe belongs to the Lord. Offering, some discretion, right? But still, to the Lord, the rest, you can do whatever you want with it. And then whatever else that you have in mind in that regard. And I hope that this becomes a natural thing that we do as a church, as individuals in that regard. But I also pray that we grow in our giving before the Lord. I remember hearing Rick Warren, so many Ricks. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church, and he was speaking at a conference I was attending, and he was talking about giving, and he was talking about kind of what he does. You know, I mean, he's a pastor. Did you know he is what we call now a reverse tither? You know what a reverse tither is? A reverse tither actually keeps 10% and gives 90% of his income. And now, this didn't happen overnight. And Rick, while he was sharing, it was a bunch of pastors in the room, and he was saying that every year, him and his wife would decide how to up the ante every year. And so when they first started ministry, they started 10%. They started with a tithe. And then the next year, they went 11%. And then some years were good. They went 14%, and so on and so forth. And it wasn't like he went from 10 to 90. He actually, as the Lord was convicting him and his wife, they began to increase their giving every year. And all throughout ministry. And now they got to the point where he's able to give 90% of his income. That's crazy. I mean, that's pretty astounding. Now, he also happened to write the best-selling book outside of the Bible, you know, and so those things help. But I want to suggest to you that would not have happened. All those financial blessings that he's reaping now probably wouldn't have happened unless he was starting to do these. You guys understand? There's something that preceded this windfall. And I know that you guys are thinking about windfall. I know we're in Hong Kong. It's a financial capital, right? But You didn't look at all the stuff that happened before God really began to move in his life. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, very challenging testimony. I've known people, you know, in my life as well that operate in the same way, the reverse tithing. And there's just something about those guys. There's just something very special about their heart and what they do. And I mean, pretty stinking amazing, if you ask me. And so that's the idea of how to give, very simply, okay? So let me get to the next part here. Tithe, offering, charity, make those things clear. Just some simple, these are just some questions that I've gotten over the years about giving. And so I just want to address it so we can just kind of move on and we get this. So number one, what's the difference between tithes and offerings? Well, I just talked about it a little bit. Right? Tithes, 10%, this belongs to God. Offerings are anything above that we give above our tithes. It's a voluntary contribution, different types of offerings, love, thanksgiving, faith, mission, free will, all those different things. We talked about that a little bit. Okay, number two, can I tie to a charity organization or does it have to go to the church? Can I tie to a charity organization or does it have to go to church? Now, the tithe goes to the church, right? It's just very simple. It's Malachi 3:10. It's what they call the storehouse effect. The tithe was to take care of the temple and to take care of the priests. In other words, the way of saying is you give where you're fed in this regard. In the past, personally, I've actually turned away members of our church. I haven't turned away members of our church. I've turned away members of our church that have left SP, gone to, you know, moved to another country, gone somewhere else, and they still wanted to tithe to Solomon's Porch in Hong Kong. And I said, no, you can't do that. Because you tie to where you're fed. You tie to your church. And you need to be a part of a church that you can serve in and love in and grow in and you know, all those wonderful things. So it's important that we get this, that the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe goes to the church first. It's take care of the temple and take care of the priests in a very simple regard. Giving to charity organizations or other ministries is offering. And we hope that you do that as well, right? We hope that you also give to Christian organizations or humanitarian organizations, you know, that help people all over the world. And incidentally enough, a lot of the money, that even the tithe that comes into Solomon's Porch also goes out to help causes in Hong Kong especially, but also all over the world. Number three, do I have to give every week or can I give once a month or even once a year? And the simple explanation is give when you receive. It's really simple, right? Let it be inflow, outflow, a really simple thing. The important aspect is not when, but that you do. Now, if you get paid every week, you give every week. If you get paid every month, you give every month. You get paid once a year, you give once a year. You know, however, it's a very simple rule. Now, it's not a biblical rule, so I just want you to be aware of that, okay? But it's a good guideline for us in that regard because it stokes that idea of generosity, that attitude, that this belongs to God, Lord, I receive and I give. We're a channel or a funnel to these things. Number four, can I manage the tithe and then give when it becomes large in a legacy gift? Right? In other words, like, you know, maybe God has skilled you as a banker and you have some skills to make wealth. And so can I just save it? And it belongs to the Lord, but can I save this money aside and invest it? And then it grows, and then I can give like a huge lump sum, you know, to the church in that regard. And no. Primarily, I mean, it's a good idea in that regard. But again, we're to give when we receive. See, we're not so much interested on our return on earth, but we're interested in the return in heaven. Right? Store for yourselves treasures in heaven instead of on earth where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal and all those kinds of things. And so it's simple that way. Now, if I'll say this. If that is a deep conviction in your heart, in other words, that God has given you skill to make wealth. And that is a skill in the Bible. It says, it is a blessing of God that makes wealth, and he adds no sorrow to it. And so there is something about that. Then please come talk to one of the board members. You know, we'd be interested in talking with you to figure out how to invest some of our Vision Fund money. Not a lot of it, a little portion of it. You know, everything else is in extremely, extremely safe investments. But we'd like to have a conversation with you and get some ideas, and so maybe we can help, and so you can satisfy your gift in that regard in helping the body. Number five, what if the church has large reserves and doesn't use the money anyway? I don't know of very many churches that don't use all the funds that they have, but I'm sure there are some. So what if the large reserves? Well, the reality is we're giving to God. We're giving to God. And so that should be our idea. Notice that inlaid in each of these questions, did you notice that sense of control? That people want a control of something, want a control of the funds or control of the timing and whatnot. And that's why the beauty of giving is it gives up control in that regard. Number six, do I have to tithe my bonus or gains from investments? You know, do I have to, is this also included in this thing? You know, I sold a house and, you know, I made, you know, tons of money. Does that also belong in the tithe as well? Do I need to do that? Well, it's up to you. It depends on, did you do it all alone by yourself? Or did God help you through that? Now, if you think you did it all by yourself, by all means, you keep everything you got. It belongs to you. You deserve it. But if you believe that God helped you through it, I think we kind of know what we should do, amen? Right? We should be tithing whatever we receive in that regard. No matter where it comes from in that way, it's important. Look, again, I share this. I'm sure there's probably many more questions. If you have a question, you know, at house church this week, talk to your house church leader, and then house church leaders relay the questions back, and so I'll add to this list a little bit and address it maybe in a few years later on when we get back to this topic. This is a simple reality, brothers and sisters, okay? I'm not preaching this because I want something from you. I'm not. And you need to know my heart. I'm not preaching this because I want something from you. The reality is I want something for you. That's the key. I want something for you. See, giving is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's hardly ever financial. It's a discipleship issue. I cannot be a good pastor, a good shepherd, without discussing money. I just can't. Right? I love you too much not to say something, you know, in our lives. And it's important, you know, I generally, many times, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, I'm the one that people have very hard conversations with. And a lot of times it's because I feel like so many other people kind of usurp their authority. They just give away their, not usurp, but they abdicate their authority away to other people. You know, I mean, I've sat down with couples. I've sat down with couples that basically, you know, before they got married and they got pregnant. And I was hoping that the dad of our church member would say something to the boyfriend, but for whatever reason, the dad didn't do that, so I stepped into that role, and I gave him an earful, you know, but I love this couple enough to let them know, hey, you messed up, man, right? You need to repent. You need to get your life straight right now. I've had a lot of difficult conversations with people in that regard, and quite honestly, I'm not necessarily afraid to have those conversations because it would be unloving for me not to say something. It would be extremely unloving for me not to say something, not to direct us back to the Word and direct us back to God's heart. And not as a place of condemnation, but as an opportunity to come closer to the Lord. Repent and return that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And so what I'm trying to guide us as a church to really understand is that poor stewardship is dangerous for you. Poor stewardship is dangerous for every single one of us. If the statistics are true, and in our church, from what I'm hearing from the board, and you know, I don't really do a lot with the numbers. In fact, you know, I barely know what's going in and what's going out. That's just kind of more of my personality in that way. But if all the stats are true, and SP runs alongside of this as well, there's roughly about 25 to 50%. This is a national statistic. This is the United States. But it's also true here in Hong Kong at our church. Between 25 and 50% of churchgoers give nothing or next to nothing. That's just a simple reality, okay? So no one start looking around and everything. No one start accusing anyone of any of these things. But again, you put that in perspective. You think about that. Again, this is not a financial problem. That is a spiritual problem. It is a serious spiritual problem because God is a giver. Our willingness to give reveals our relationship with God because that's who God is in His character. Examples can be found throughout Scripture, but two of the most potent ones are found in Luke 12 and Revelation 3. And this is kind of two sides of the pendulum here. We're not going to go through this, but let me just explain, and you can study later on. In Luke 12, 15 to 21, we are introduced to this rich farmer. And he was blessed with an abundant crop, this rich farmer was. But he gives no credit to God, nor does he give thought to being a steward. It doesn't even cross his mind. He thinks only about himself. And Jesus calls this farmer a fool, not because he had great possessions, but because his possessions had him. And he says, "You fool!" Emphatically in that regard, this is a question that I asked a few weeks ago. Do we own our stuff, or does our stuff own us in that regard? And so that was a rich farmer. Just nothing. He says, "You are a fool. You are totally blind. You don't get it." Now, in Revelation chapter 3, 14 and 17, we're introduced to the church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea, in this letter, the people in the church believe that their material blessings indicated that they were right with God. This is also dangerous. They believe, and this kind of sounds like the prosperity gospel, right? They believe that because we're wealthy, because we have a lot of resources, we are right with God. And remember what the angel told the church in Laodicea? He says, "You are blind, you are naked, and you are depraved." See, these guys also missed it as well. One had a lot, and he thought that right? That he gave no mention to God, no honor to God, no glory to God. It was all him. He only thought about himself. His possessions owned him. And then Jesus said, you're a fool. The church in Laodicea, they had a lot as well. They were prosperous and all these wonderful things. But they thought because they had all these things that they were right with God. And God says, you're naked, you're blind, and you're depraved. And so that didn't work for that either. In both cases, a harmful relationship with wealth became the root of spiritual blindness. I'll read that again. A harmful relationship with wealth became the root of spiritual blindness. See, this is not to get something from you. This is for you. This is so that we can mature in Christ. You know, when I was in Singapore last week, had a dinner with one of our church members, and you know, before we got to the dinner, we were talking, and I remember this young guy, and he had just come to church, and he had been going to church in Korea and other places for years, and then he came to SP, and I had been teaching on giving, and he was sitting there, and his mind was going crazy, and he turned to me, and he basically said, you know, I've never heard any teaching on this before. You know, and it basically, he just gave whenever he felt like it, basically. But it wasn't a huge priority for him, but he wanted to grow. He wanted to mature in his faith. And if you're going to say, you know, if he said, can you share more? So I sent more messages to him, and he looked it up. And this last trip, he thanked me for those times. And we were kind of like, you know, going through memory lane and just looking back and stuff. I said, well, just thank you. Just thank you for those messages. And now he's regular to giving, and his family is so blessed. You know, I mean, God's just enlarging him and his job and, you know, all these different things. And he was just, it was such a simple thing in that regard, but something that many pastors that he went to actually never touched on. You know, they didn't want to upset people or scare people away or whatnot. You know, I'm not necessarily afraid of that all that much. But I'm afraid of not telling the truth. I'm afraid of not giving the word of God in such a way that now the responsibility to obey comes on our lap and the blessing of obedience flows out from us. And so it's important. Now, on the other hand here, going back to the Luke 12 and Revelation 3 passage, rich stewardship or good stewardship benefits everybody. And here's the beautiful picture of Acts chapter 3. This is the church. This is the pristine church in its moment. And in Acts 2:42-47, the early church lives out a culture of stewardship. And it says in verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. This is a beautiful, beautiful church. It's a picture of generosity in action. Even in their lack, this church was not wealthy, brothers and sisters. They were not wealthy by any means in this place. But they give everything. They gave out of their lack. They gave out of their poverty. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've seen generosity in action. And it's so touching. Probably, now, outside of my mom passing away, I would say I never cried as much as I cried in this one particular service. Some of you guys were there. Remember our retreat that we had, I think probably now maybe 7 years ago, and we had a guy, a YWAM leader named Stefan Hugo. Do you remember Stefan? And he came up the last service, the morning service before we hit the ferry, he talked about the spirit of generosity. And he preached the message, and then he started the service. And remember, he invited me to come up, myself, and he gave me a really nice South African hat. He was a South African guy, and it gave me a really nice leather South African hat. I look like a total hick, you know, when I wear it, but I like the hat. I still have it at home. So I got the hat, and he gave me some tea or whatnot, and he wanted to model this generosity. So he's being generous to me. And then one by one, people came up, and they started sharing what they had with the body. And I remember one of the sisters came up, and she had bought, she was into music, and she had bought, I think it was a violin or was it cello? Yeah, bought this cello, and she, like, it was her first big bonus, and so she bought this really expensive cello. And but somehow she had heard that another sister of ours, this actually was Trish, that Trish wanted to play cello again. And so she came up and she, you know, said, but you know, I have this cello. It's like meaningful to me. And so, Trish, I want to give it to you. I remember Trish came up and she was crying. And this happened for like an hour and a half or so. You know, as I looked through the room, I remember Boyoung, right? You know, our Boyoung came up and she actually just had lost her wallet, right? It's true, right? Because, you know, sometimes we pastors, we exaggerate a little bit, so I got to make sure that I don't exaggerate. Yeah, I remember you lost your wallet. She lost her wallet, and she had all these, like, coupons of baby stuff that she had received. And then, but she was led by the Spirit of the Lord, so she came up to the stage, and she said, I want to give this to Godwin and Rebecca. Right, Godwin? That was you guys, right? See, I'm preaching truth right here, man, right? And stuff. And so she said, I just want to bless you. Even though I lost all this, that's what was so precious. Even though I lost... And, you know, my wallet and all this was gone, but I still want to bless you in this way. It was beautiful. I mean, I was crying. Then one of our sisters came up, and she no longer goes here, and her father passed away. And the last thing that she was given to her was from her dad, and it was this ring, right? And so she had this ring, and she said, this is the most precious thing that I own. And she called, I don't remember who the sister was, but was it? Marsha? Well, she called up Marsha and said, I want to give this to you. Dude, let the crying begin. I'm telling you, I kid you not, from the moment it began, from the moment when it was Mary, by the way, who gave the cello, the moment that Mary came and gave that away, to the end of the service, I was in the front row, guys, I was bawling like a baby because of the generosity, the giving. You know why? It wasn't so much the giving. Because it was the character of God. We experience God. God is the most amazing giver of all. And what we experienced was not we didn't experience the passing of possessions or funds from point A to point B. I mean, you can be cynical and look at it that way. I want to tell you, we experience God. We experience the character of God. We experience the church in its finest moment. Like the church in Acts. And man, it just so moves so many of us. I like to believe that from that moment on, and I like to believe that the church was already fairly generous, I mean, you know, in a way, but I think that took us up to a whole nother level in that regard. And generosity just began to feel. I as a pastor, I'm telling you, I get so, so blessed when I hear testimonies and people sharing and saying, you know what, I had this need. And then someone in my house church, I didn't even ask them. They didn't know what I was needed. They didn't know anything. And then they wrote me a check, and it was the exact amount of money that I needed. And I was like, praise Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I hear this all the time. I hear from all different types of people. And I needed this, and God provided this way. And it's usually it worked out in the body. See, good stewardship is beautiful. It's beautiful because it's the heart of God. God is the giver. This beautiful picture of the church in action. Let me go through this really quick. 3 points to wrap it up. Why do we give? We give because it all belongs to Him anyway. Remember, we're just stewards. It all belongs to Him. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. It all belongs to Him. 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing His divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Everything. This divine power has granted to us everything that we need in this life. It all belongs to Him anyway. 2, we give because we've received so much from Him. Giving is the act of gratitude. It's the act of gratitude. In other words, we are blessed. We are so blessed to be a blessing. We receive and we give. We receive and we give. We are blessed to be a blessing. Matthew 12:48, the second part, says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. We give because we have received so much from Him. What do you have in your life that has not been given to you by God? Is there anything you could take credit for in your life besides your mistakes? Is there anything in your life that you can take credit for outside of your mistakes? It's all been given to us by the Lord. So we give because we have received so much from Him. And number three, we give to overcome greed and self. We give to overcome greed and self. Greed, at its root, is the love of self or self-interest. It's part of what is at the root of the opposite of love. Remember, the scripture tells us, for the love of money is the root of all evil. This greed, this infatuation with self. And you guys know, I love my favorite quote from Lewis. It's when he talks about this, he says, the ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on self that is the mark of hell. The ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on self that is the mark of hell. So why we give? We give because it all belongs to Him anyway. We give because we have received so much from Him, and we give to overcome greed and self. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, your relationship with money impacts your relationship with God. Your relationship with money impacts your relationship with God. Let's be good stewards who are generous and give with cheerful hearts, because you can never outgive God. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Again, we don't want anything from you. If we wanted something from you, we would take an offering right now, because you're in the mood to give right now, but that's not how we roll here. We don't want anything from you. This is for you. This is a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. Let's learn to be good stewards. For some of you, it may just start just by tithing. That's a huge hurdle for you. I know it is. Trust me, this is a hurdle for every Christian. Every person that's ever come to church, they're confronted with this, and it's a struggle, man. It is. It's a struggle. But it's amazing. Once you get over that struggle and you start experiencing God in that regard, listen, no one starts by being generous. Trust me. It starts by that little act of faith, and we just give a little bit. And then we see God's generosity, and that stirs us to give more. And that's how this ball starts to work out. It starts to roll in this regard. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Maybe you're one of those 25 to 50%, and God's really challenging you. And He says, like He said to us in the book of Malachi, test me in this. He says, bring your tithe and offerings to the storehouse. And He says, test me in this. Well, I will open up the floodgates of heaven for you, for us, in this way. You know, God never said to test Him on anything except that verse in Malachi chapter 3. And it was in the issue of tithes and offerings. He says, listen, you give, it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, spilling over, running over your lap. That's what He tells us in the book of Luke. You can never outgive God. And so you're not losing anything. You're gaining so much as a result. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Close our eyes. Let Him speak to you about what you do with that 90%. This is assuming that 10% is going to the Lord. But Lord, am I a good steward? Am I doing the Master's will? Let me go back to that definition of stewardship. In biblical times, a steward was a respected person of high integrity who was entrusted with the master's possessions. The steward managed the possessions in accordance with the master's wishes. Since God created and still owns all we have, stewardship is recognizing that God is the owner and we are His managers, responsible for using God's possessions to please Him. Not to just please ourselves. There's nothing wrong with pleasing ourselves, but not always and only to please ourselves. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him whisper in your heart. stewardship, giving, generosity. Let's pray.